The sleepy town of Little Kilton will never be the same for Pip Fitzamobi. 6 months after solving the Andy Bell murder case through her school project turned true crime investigation, Pip has transformed her findings into a successful podcast. But beneath her newfound local celebrity status lies a traumatized teenager who jumps at shadows and hears phantom sounds of her deceased dog Barney's paws clicking across the floor, the faithful companion who died protecting her during her previous investigation. Despite promising herself and her worried parents that her detective days are over, Pip finds herself drawn into another mystery when Jamie Reynolds disappears after a memorial service for Andy Bell and Sal Singh. The police dismiss the case as a simple adult choosing to leave town, but Jamie's brother Connor is convinced something sinister has happened. Against her better judgment, Pip agrees to help. Just this once, she tells herself, even as she creates a new podcast season titled The Disappearance of Jamie Reynolds. What begins as a straightforward missing persons case quickly reveals itself as something far more complex. Jamie had been acting strangely for weeks, coming home late, oversleeping, being short-tempered. Through meticulous digital detective work, Pip and Connor discovered Jamie had been catfished by someone using stolen photos from local girl Stella Chapman's Instagram account. After spotting the real Stella at the memorial service, Jamie had followed her to a party, confronted her, and discovered the devastating truth that Layla didn't exist. But the digital deception goes deeper. Jamie himself had been lying to his online love interest, claiming to be older and more successful than he really was. His browser history reveals searches about brain cancer and making fast money, connecting to his desperate attempt to steal Pip's mother's credit card. Most alarmingly, when they attempt to message the catfisher, she responds directly to Pip. "Hello, Pip. You're getting closer," before vanishing from all platforms. Jamie's Fitbit data provides the most ominous clue. His heart rate spiked dramatically just before midnight on the night he disappeared, then flatlined completely. Pip uncovers disturbing truths about Jamie. He'd been fired weeks ago for theft, but pretended to still work there. In his room, she finds an unidentified woman's watch and a note mentioning Hillary F. Wiseman left 11, a woman who died in 2006. Most alarmingly, a yellow-handled knife, the most weapon-suitable one, is missing from the Reynolds kitchen. The investigation deepens when Pip notices the catfisher targets men around 30 with similar appearances. This reveals a shocking motive. They're hunting for Child Brunswick, the now-adult son of serial killer Scott Brunswick, who helped lure victims 20 years ago. Despite a worldwide injunction protecting his identity, Pip researches rumors about his relocations and discovers an online comment claiming he lives in Little Clinton. This leads her to Stanley Forbes, the local newspaper editor, who's been paying hush money to conceal his true identity. The truth emerges: Jamie had discovered Stanley was Child Brunswick and confronted him with a knife, triggering a violent chain of events. Pip's faith in the justice system shatters when Max Hastings, who drugged and raped multiple girls, is found not guilty on all charges. Matt Da Silva's anguished screams upon hearing this news haunt Pip. Later, seeing Max celebrating with champagne at the Savoy pushes her past her breaking point. After her neighbor Charlie Green suggests justice exists outside courtrooms, Pip makes a pivotal decision. Maybe I don't have to be good, or other people's versions of good. She uploads Max's audio confession online, then vandalizes the Hastings house, painting "Rapist, I will get you" on the door and smashing all windows. This vigilante act marks her transformation. When Pip later confronts Stanley Forbes, Child Brunswick, he reveals he's been trying to live quietly and unlearn toxic behaviors from his past. The confrontation ends tragically when Charlie Green arrives unexpectedly and shoots Stanley dead, forcing Pip to witness yet another act of violence. The personal toll of Pip's investigations grows increasingly severe. Her academic performance suffers as she prioritizes the case over schoolwork, jeopardizing her Cambridge prospects. her relationships strain. She pushes away boyfriend Ravi despite his comfort, fixating on saving Jamie while neglecting herself. When Wired Rip claims Jamie's disappearance is a podcast publicity hoax, Pip faces widespread suspicion. A threatening note appears in her locker. "This is your final warning, Pippa. Walk away." The pressure culminates when she violently shoves former friend Aunt into lockers, resulting in school suspension. The investigation forces Pip to confront uncomfortable truths about herself. She admits to Ravi she's been lying about who she is, confessing she's selfish, a liar, reckless, and obsessive, but it feels like me. This self-recognition represents both a cost and growth. She's lost the innocence of believing herself purely good, but gained a more complex understanding of her identity. By the story's end, Pip carries the psychological weight of witnessing Stanley's murder, the sound of gunshots echoing constantly in her mind. Throughout the narrative, truth remains elusive as characters craft intricate deceptions. Jamie maintained a daily charade of employment, leaving home in business attire only to spend hours in coffee shops. His relationship with Lila involved mutual deception. He created a fictional persona while she manipulated him using stolen photographs. Witnesses add their own falsehoods. Tom Nowak fabricates a Jamie sighting for internet fame, while Luke Eaton's lies about his whereabouts create complications. Institutional failures further obscure reality. The justice system fails to convict Max Hastings despite DNA evidence, while police bureaucracy classifies Jamie as merely absent rather than missing. In this environment of pervasive deception, Pip's journey becomes about understanding truth itself. Her methods evolve from naive trust in testimony to a sophisticated approach where truth must be assembled from multiple sources, cross-referenced, and verified. The story concludes with characters learning to live with trauma rather than finding neat resolution. At Jamie's barbecue, his plans to become a paramedic and confess his feelings to Nat signal healing despite his experiences. For Pip, the path forward remains complex. Though she laughs watching everyone attempt to floss dance, she stays at a distance, with Ravi beside her. Later, alone, she continues searching online for Charlie and Flora Green, documenting every lead. Charlie's voice haunts her thoughts as she wonders if they truly are different. The gun that took Stanley's life now lives inside her, present always. This ending suggests some wounds heal while others become part of our identity. Jamie finds new purpose, but Pip remains caught between worlds, present with loved ones yet haunted by what she's witnessed. Her continued search indicates she hasn't fully released the case. Living with aftermath isn't about perfect closure, but navigating complex moral terrain while carrying the weight of experience.